Those of us who've been working on environmental issues for many years, including many of you who are here, we've been saying for some time that if the environmental trends of recent decades continue, that eventually we'll be in trouble. What was not clear is what trouble, what form the trouble would take, and when it would come. I now think it's going to come on the food front, in the form of rising world food prices, and within the next few years. Let me explain why I think this is the case. In each of the last 4 years, world grain production has fallen short of consumption. We have covered that shortfall, and the last two shortfalls were the largest on record. We have covered these 4 years of shortfalls by drawing down world grain stocks, which are now at the lowest level in 30 years. Now, this year, it's clear we're facing a fifth consecutive grain shortfall. The only thing we don't know at this point is the size. It looks as though it's going to be much smaller than the previous 2 years. But the fact that we are facing another shortfall means that at the end of this year, world grain stocks will drop to the lowest level on record. The last time grain stocks were this low, 1972-74, world wheat and rice prices doubled. There are a couple of environmental reasons for the shortfall and for the resulting decline in stocks and decline in food security, I might add. Well, first, we've had a number of long-standing environmental trends like soil erosion. The cumulative effects of soil erosion gradually reduce the productivity of the land. We've had expanding deserts, and I could talk for the next hour about desertification, expanding deserts in various countries in the world and what it means, whether it's Nigeria, China, Algeria, Iran, any number of countries where this has become a serious food security threatening issue. But there are two new environmental trends: falling water tables and rising temperatures. These are trends that the world's farmers have not had to deal with before. But as the world demand for food has tripled over the last half century, the demand for irrigation water has also tripled. And in many parts of the world, that has led to the overpumping of aquifers. Half of the world's people now live in countries where water tables are falling and wells are going dry. And these countries include China, India, and the United States, the big three grain producers that together account for nearly half of the world grain harvest. In the United States, water tables are falling throughout the southern Great Plains and throughout the southwestern United States. In the southern Great Plains, the water tables have fallen to the point where the irrigated area has shrunk by 24% since 1980. Not only are farmers faced with a shrinking supply of water in many areas, like California, for example, but farmers are getting a shrinking share of that shrinking supply. There's a magazine that comes out of California. It's called The Water Investigator. And each month, it has a section in it on water sales. Almost every day, there's another water sale in the western U.S., a farmer or an irrigation district selling their water rights to cities, because cities can pay so much more for the water than they can earn from using the water for irrigation. So we're seeing farmers now with a double squeeze, a shrinking water supply as aquifers are depleted and wells go dry, and a shrinking share of that shrinking supply because cities throughout the world are taking more and more water. In India, water tables are falling in most states, including in the Punjab, which is the breadbasket of India. In China, water tables are falling throughout the northern half of the country, including under the North China Plain, which is the breadbasket of China. Overpumping for irrigation is a way of expanding food production today that almost guarantees a decline in food production tomorrow when the aquifers are depleted and the wells go dry. We are quite literally borrowing water from the future. Most of us do not realize how water-intensive food production is. We drink each day, in one form or another, as water, juice, milk, pop, beer, coffee, whatever. We drink nearly 4 liters a day. That's almost 4 quarts of water a day. The food that we eat each day requires 2,000 liters of water to produce, or 500 times as much. It takes a lot of water to produce food. I think many of us in this room now sense that the world is facing the future of water shortages. If it is facing a future of water shortages, it is also facing a future of food shortages. Most of us have not yet connected the dots to see that water shortages equals food shortages. 70% of all the water we use, that we divert from rivers or pump from underground, is used for irrigation. Industry uses 20%, cities use 10%. So falling water tables is a new problem, and it's shrinking harvests in many countries. Importantly, in China, which I'll come back to in a minute. The second trend that is affecting food production is rising temperatures. New research by crop ecologists at the International Rice Research Institute in the Philippines and the U.S. Department of Agriculture indicates that for each 1 degree Celsius rise in temperature, that's 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit, for each 1 degree Celsius rise in temperature during the growing season, we can expect a 10% decline in grain yields, wheat, rice, and corn. In 2002, intense heat and drought reduced the grain harvest in India and in the United States. Last year, Europe bore the brunt of intense heat. London, for the first time in history, recorded triple-digit temperatures. That's Fahrenheit, 100 degrees. Every country, from France east through the Ukraine, saw its grain harvest decline as a result of intense heat during the last half of the summer. 35,000 people died in 8 countries in Europe from heat, from record temperatures. That's 10 times the number who died on September 11th, 2001.